Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
I suspect, like quite a number of you, my formal training in photography is pretty scarce. Other than attending a dozen or so workshops in my youth and looking at lots and lots of photographs, I never went to school to learn photography. I didn't have a formal course in the history of photography, or even, as far as that goes, the craft of photography. Never went to the Brooks Institute. Never had such wonderful professors as Jeff Curto to bring me into the world of photography in an organized way. Instead, my learning photography was sort of random and haphazard, and I would just gather information as I came across it. And the obvious problem with that is a lot of times you just don't come across the information you really need to know. And so learning takes place over decades of hard-earned school of knocks and trial and error. And looking back on that, I realize it was a very inefficient way to learn photography, because there are some incredibly important lessons that now, in my fifth decade of photography, I look back and think, gosh, I wish I would have learned these things in my youth, because they would have made such a big difference, would have made me a lot more efficient in what I was doing. I wouldn't have wasted so much time pursuing dead ends that didn't lead anywhere in an artistic career. So here are a few things that come to mind. And obviously, I'm sharing these because I'm hopeful that if you're a young person just getting started in photography, or as far as that goes, an older person who's just getting started in photography, these are lessons that maybe you haven't run across yet that I can share. And there may be a number of them that you already know, but there also may be a couple that you don't. So let's jump in. Number one, I wish someone had told me in my youth that craft, the craft of photography, the mechanics, the chemistry, all of that is constantly changing and has been constantly changing since the invention of photography in the early 1800s. No generation in the history of photography uses the same craft for their entire life. That's obvious looking back at the history of photography. But it wasn't obvious to me at the time. I seriously thought that once I had mastered gelatin silver printing and the zone system, that I would have command of a craft that would last me my entire life. There was no way I could foresee the coming of digital photography, digital printing, etc., computers, laptops, all of that was thoroughly unknown and unanticipated. So naively, I just assumed once I mastered one craft, I was more or less set for life. Like I say, looking back at the history of photography, that's never been true. I mean, Ansel Adams started printing with Parmelian prints. Think of all the photographers who learned albumen printing and all the other so-called alternative processes. Now the thing that I thought was going to last me my entire life, gelatin silver printing, is considered an alternative process. So getting fixed on one methodology can be incredibly limiting. And I think it's a much safer strategy in photography to assume that whatever you're learning today is not going to be what you will be using to produce your work 5 years from now, 10 years from now, week and a half from now. Craft is constantly changing. Number two, I wish I had been taught the importance of fitting the tool to the job. My assumption was that I would buy a camera and it would do everything I needed it to do. And when it didn't, then I thought, well, I have the wrong camera. I just need to find the right camera that will do everything I need it to do. And so I went on a search in my youth to find the best camera. And I went from 35 millimeter to medium format to 2 1/4, 3 1/4 to view cameras, always in a search for the one camera that would do everything. But the truth is, no camera will do everything, not even today's yippy-skippy, highly computerized super-duper cameras. They can't do everything. Different cameras have different purposes. and how foolish it would be for a carpenter to try to pound nails with a saw. Well, that applies to photography too. That really, as a versatile photographer who's interested in a variety of different subjects, the best strategy is to have different tools for different purposes. So one camera will do this kind of photography best, another camera will do a different kind of photography best. And if you want to do those different kinds of photographies, you're going to need to have two cameras and two sets of lenses and maybe two sets of workflows too. And the more you explore other areas of photography, there will constantly be a need for new equipment. In my 50 years of photography, for 30-some-odd years, I used the same view camera for everything. And some of the things I was trying to do with it were just silly. They were just ridiculous. I had almost zero chance of success with it because it was the wrong tool for the job. But cameras are expensive, and particularly if you don't have a lot of money, which I didn't have in my youth, then buying multiple cameras seems to be an overwhelming kind of thing, in which case, then, why not just find the things that your camera does well and do those things and recognize that other things that your camera doesn't do well, you'll have to wait and do that kind of work later, maybe when you can afford another camera or a different camera, or maybe borrow or rent one. So that's the second thing I wish I would have learned. The third thing I wish I would have learned in my youth has to do with commerce. I wish now someone had said to me, forget about commerce with your artwork. Just don't even pursue it. The idea of selling prints and gallery representation and putting yourself in the market for photography is a waste of time, unless you want to do that full time. If you want to be a photographer who pursues sales, then the first thing you have to do is make photographs that are the kinds of things that people want to buy and have and own and put above the couch or decorate their office, which may or may not have anything to do with the kind of photography you want to create, with the personally motivated, personally expressive photography that is the core of art making. I can't tell you how much time I wasted in my youth pursuing gallery representation and sales instead of figuring out ways to just subsidize what I love to do, which is what I ended up doing anyway. It's not that we won't sell work, because occasionally we will. We all do. But you're not going to pay the rent or the heat, light, and power or the insurance bill or put food on the table unless you're a very unusual photographer, that is to say, the photographer who succeeds at that task when most other photographers live the life of a starving artist. I wish someone had said to me, just figure out a way to be self-funding and recognize that that's okay, because that's not your purpose for being a photographer, is to make a living with it or to somehow manifest a return on investment. That instead, pursuing the art life has nothing to do with commerce unless you happen to be incredibly lucky. One of my favorite ways to think about this is, do you want to be an artist or do you want to be a businessman whose product is your art? Running a business is not a simple thing. When you start adding all of the complications of staff and location and shipping and insurance and taxes and etc., being a small businessman is a complicated thing and leaves you very little time for doing supposedly what you got into photography to do, which was have fun, make art, pursue personally expressive ideas, enjoy being out there in the world, sharing work occasionally when you can. But commerce and art are very uncomfortable bedfellows. And this has nothing to do with photography, by the way, as a unique thing. I mean, how many musicians are there that are in garage bands that live to perform but don't count on that income from their garage band endeavors to pay their mortgage. Same thing with painters. I can't count the number of afghans that my mother knit in the course of her life, but she never sold one. She made a lot of wonderful gifts, but the idea of turning that hobby into commerce would be absurd. How in my youth I connected the art life with commerce is a mystery, because I don't recall ever setting out to be a commercial enterprise with my photography, but I just assumed that's what we did. And so I spent a lot of time pursuing those kinds of ideas, those kinds of connections, and ultimately all that did was take time away from me that I could have spent making photographs or being out in the world photographing or experimenting or just enjoying the artwork that I was doing. So the third thing I wish I had learned in my youth is forget about commerce and just live the art life, which probably won't include commerce at all, at least not to any measurable amount, but will fill your life with satisfying activities because making art is so rewarding in other ways than commerce. Number four. I wish someone had told me that learning photography is a small part of what I would need to be an artist. The craft of photography, f-stops and shutter speeds and all of that, is fairly easily learned. But one of my favorite quotes comes from Morley Baer, who was a fantastic photographer. And I have an audio tape of him in a workshop saying that in order to be a successful artist, you first have to be a good person. And I don't think he was making a morality statement there. He was talking about being a whole person, being an engaged person, a sensitive person. I wish someone had told me that I needed to spend time studying art history, painting, sculpture, calligraphy, music, dance, all the other arts, because they will influence what I'm doing and thinking about in photography. And it doesn't just end with art. In order to be a good photographic artist, you have to know a little bit about philosophy, about human nature, about psychology, about geology, about biology. There are so many things that contribute to the task of being an artist, that to be a well-rounded person is the first prerequisite for being a good artist. Looking back on my life, I spent far too much time focused strictly on photographic things, tools, equipment, techniques, processes, etc., and didn't know anything about the wider world of art or the other things that help build wisdom and sensitivity and empathy, which are far more important than knowing the formula for D76. And finally, the last thing I'll bring up, point number five of things I wish I had learned in my youth, is what I'll characterize as the age of media. Again, when I was a young photographer, if there wasn't a physical print, there wasn't a photograph. And so, obviously, a lot of attention was put into the process of making a good print, hence the zone system and developing negatives and printing and enlarging techniques and developers and dodging and burning and all that stuff that was required to make a print, because that was the only other option unless you wanted to produce a book or a poster, which required lots of money. And as I now know, books and posters are commercial commodities. They are not artwork. They are not original prints. So in my youth, there was only one medium. That was the print. Now, you might have the variation of gelatin silver versus gum bichromate versus platinum palladium, etc., but they were all fundamentally prints with different kinds of chemistry. Compare that to today. I had no inkling, no one had any inkling, that we would spend our mature years in the age of media, where there are so many different technologies to share our images, from websites and PDFs and tablets and computer screens and YouTube videos. Who would have dreamt any of that in our youth? But I think the seeds of the age of media were actually being planted in the 70s and 80s and 90s when I was growing up in photography. And with a little effort, I could have predicted the coming revolution in media that carried photography far beyond the original print. Now, if you're only making original prints, you're not touching but a tiny fraction of the potential audience there is for your work. If you're a photographer and you don't have a website or a presence in social media or are doing digital publications, you're missing the opportunity to share your work literally across the globe. I've said for years that one of the fundamental problems of gallery exhibitions is that you'll have an opportunity with a gallery exhibition to show your work to maybe, what, a couple of hundred people who live within about 30 or 40 miles of the gallery? We live in a global age now where that seems really restrictive. I can post a new PDF on my personal website, send out an email, and I'll have thousands, sometimes even tens of thousands of downloads within the first 24 hours. Of course, if you're saying, well, yes, that's not original artwork, I understand. But maybe it can be. Who's to say that a PDF is not an original artwork? I've talked elsewhere about what defines the term original here in the age of digital photography. But if we recognize the fact that photographs are two things, they are a method of presentation and image content, it's the marriage of those two things, then image content can be married to all kinds of different media, like tablets and computers and social media and etc., and still be a valid method of sharing the content of the image. That's the age we live in. And as much as we might resist it because we prefer the age of the original print and the specialness of being able to hold an original print in our hand and view it up close and personal, touching the mat board and the print that the photographer touched, that magical connection that supposedly happens. That's all wonderful. That's all good. That's why we still have original prints. But that's a rare experience. Most of the photography that I treasure in my life, that I've seen in books and on the computer and etc., are images that I've never had the opportunity to see, quote-unquote, in real life as original prints. But that doesn't mean that the image content hasn't affected me, sometimes very deeply. It's simply undeniable that we live in the age of media. And young photographers who are just starting out now will live their entire life in the age of media. My generation is the generation that has a foot in both camps. And in some regards, I consider that a very special sort of gift that my generation has, because we have an extraordinary appreciation of what it used to be to produce a fine print, but yet we have all the tools that are available now to do that much more easily, because we live in the age of media. Well, anyway, those are five things that I wish I'd learned in my youth. Craft is constantly changing. Choose the tool to fit the job. Forget about commerce and just be an artist. Learning photography is a small part of what we need to be an artist, and we live in the age of media. If I had known those things or been told those things in 1970 with my first photography class, I can only imagine how different my energies and efforts would have been and how much I could have produced and how different my output and my productivity might have been in those first 20 or 30 years.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.